So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 25, the questioner has basically stated this. Please explain Matthew 5, 23 through 25. And so that's wide open. I like wide open questions. I can just go anywhere with them, you know. So let's look at the text and then let's talk about it for a few moments. Jesus is speaking here. This is the middle of the Sermon on the Mount or the beginning of it. And he says in these verses, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. And I'm reading from the New King James Version there. So, as we mentioned, Jesus is seeking to apply the spiritual truths of God's will to his people here in this sermon, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he is setting forth the kind of character that a person needs to be to prepare for the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God doesn't come until Acts chapter 2, but Jesus is certainly going to prepare people for that event. And so he is instilling within hearts and minds attitudes. And in this context, he is saying, you have heard that it was said beforehand. And then he says, but I say to you. And so Jesus is setting himself up as one who is teaching and helping people to understand what the truth is about their needing to prepare for the coming kingdom. And yes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the scribes, they all had their various different interpretations. And they were those who were sticklers of the law. They did things according to the letter of the law. But Jesus was trying to teach spiritual truths that touched people's hearts. And that's the difference between what Jesus was doing and what the spiritual leaders of that particular day were doing. And so Jesus tells them in verse 17 and following, don't think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but fulfill. And so then he says, you've heard that it was said, verse 21, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But look at what Jesus says. He goes further. He says, I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, or thou fool, shall be in danger of the council and of hellfire. And so it's out of this context then that Jesus says, and basically what this whole context is, 21 through 26, is that there is conflict. There is conflict between brethren. And there's not supposed to be conflict between brethren. We're supposed to have peace with one another. But the brethren in this circumstance are Jewish brethren. And you have to remember that in Jesus' day, the Mosaic Law was the law of the land. It was the law by which they adjudicated their court systems. It was the law by which they operated the temple. It was the law by which they pursued their various pursuits in life, the offered sacrifices and things like that. The Mosaic Law was the law of the land. It wasn't just like today, you know, we think about the law being the law and religion being religion. Nope, that's not how it was. Those two things were like this in Jesus' time. And so we've got to think like Jesus is thinking here, and we've got to think like they thought in that particular day and age. And so Jesus is talking about these various traditions that had been received down and were now in practice that the Jews had basically taken and teased out the letter of the law, so to speak, so that they could get away with having bad attitudes toward people, but still follow this sort of legal system, you know, of paying their taxes and offering their sacrifices and staying good with the Romans and all kinds of things that they sought the legal system to do in that day and time. But they had neglected, as Jesus said in another passage, the more weightier matters of the law. And so that's why Jesus is bringing them back to think about these things. Well, in this context, 23 through 26, when we think about these verses, first of all, Jesus is talking about sacrifices. If you bring your gift to the altar, he's talking about a peace offering, a peace offering here. And peace offerings were offerings that people made in relationship to God, to say, I'm at peace with God. But there is a problem. If you're not at peace with your fellow man or fellow Jew or your brother, you're not at peace with God because you have conflict in your life. And so that's the problem that Jesus is addressing here. You see, they thought, well, we could just bring our gift to the altar and offer our peace offering to God and everything's great. But Jesus, remember what Jesus is trying to accomplish here. He's bringing them back to a higher standard. He's saying, no, it's not just about your external actions that you pursue. It's about your attitude as well. And if your actions are right and your attitude is wrong, it's all wrong. That's what Jesus is saying here. And that's why he says in this context, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, guess what? You're not supposed to go ahead and offer a peace offering to God in that circumstance because your attitude is wrong. You have conflict with someone else. And that conflict needs to be resolved. Remember, this isn't just a spiritual system, but a legal system also. And Jesus is saying that conflict needs to be resolved before you actually offer your peace offering to God. And so he says, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Okay? And so, if you want to offer a peace offering to God that's going to be effective, you need to also be at peace with everybody else in your life. Otherwise, your peace offering means nothing. You're proclaiming peace with God, but you're really not at peace with God because you have conflict with one of God's children. And that's a problem. And so he says in verse 25, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. So how did it escalate so quickly, right? You know, how did this get to a matter of prison? Well, again, this isn't just talking about a spiritual relationship. This is talking about a legal situation. A situation where there is someone who has something against you, legally speaking, under the Mosaic law, everything that anyone had against anyone else was a legal matter. And so, what's going to happen if you don't resolve that legal matter? You're going to have a judgment put against you. You're going to owe somebody something. If you go back to the Mosaic law and you look at the Mosaic law, there's all kinds of penalties for legal matters. And a lot of those penalties have to do with paying a person money in order to satisfy the debt. There's many of them. Now, there's more than just that, but there's many of them like that. All right. And so you have a legal matter with your brother. And then you, if you don't agree with him quickly, as soon as you have a and this is what Jesus is saying, as soon as you have a disagreement, you resolve it immediately. You don't wait for that to play out. If you wait for it to play out, then guess what's going to happen? Your adversary is going to come. He's going to deliver you to the judge. The judge is going to hand you over to the officer, and you're going to be thrown into prison. And then you're not going to be able to get out until you have paid the penalty for this legal matter in some way or somehow. Usually involve a person's family going out and finding the money and paying it so that then he could get out of prison. But that's the situation that people found themselves in the first century. Again, spirituality and the law were like this. in that time. Religion and law were like this. They were not separate like they are in our society today. Now, some people have interpreted this passage as saying, if I have a disagreement with anyone, then I can't partake of the Lord's Supper. Or if I have a disagreement with anyone, then I can't give on the first day of the week. Or if I have a disagreement with someone, I can't come worship. This passage isn't addressing that situation at all. It's not talking about that in any degree. This is talking about the Mosaic Law and the system under the Mosaic Law and Jesus calling people back to how to behave under the Mosaic Law. And he's calling them back to a higher standard, a standard of attitude, an attitude that's going to resolve conflict with brothers and sisters as opposed to perpetuate conflict and proclaim peace with God when there's really not peace with God. Now, does that mean that some of these principles don't apply to us today? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There are some principles here that apply to us. If we have a disagreement with our brother, how should we handle it? We need to go talk to that brother or sister, and we need to work it out. We need to resolve it. Don't let it fester and grow and cause a big problem in the church. Don't let it affect how you think and everything that goes on with you in your life. You've got to resolve it. You've got to work it out. And that takes effort. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 18 when he said, if your brother offends you, go to him privately and talk to him about it and work it out with your brother. If he won't hear you, then you take two or three witnesses with you and you can establish everything. If he still won't hear you, then you tell it to the church. And then the church can make a decision on what needs to be done in this particular case. And that's the process that Jesus wants us to go through in the church to resolve conflict. But this process right here was uniquely to the Jewish system because of the sacrifices, the peace offering that were being offered to God when there was conflict, legal conflict is what I'm talking about, among brothers, Jewish brothers. Okay. Now, legal conflict is something that ought not to occur among brothers and sisters in Christ at all. Paul discusses that in the book of 1 Corinthians, and because there were some there in Corinth who were taking their brothers to court to resolve various affairs, and Paul says, no, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. Let somebody in the church judge the matter, you know. Don't take it before Gentiles. That's something that we wouldn't do at all in the church today, because the church, as we know, is not a legal government. It's not a legalistic type system. We're not in that system today. The church is not supposed to be a government or a branch of a government or head of a government or anything like that. The church is a spiritual body. Government does what it does, and the church does what it does, and that's where we want to leave things today. So, yes, there are some principles that we can use here. We want to be at peace with all men, no doubt about that, but we don't offer peace offerings to God today anymore like they did under the old law. We come and worship according to the authority of the New Testament, and we give, we pray, we sing, we partake of the Lord's Supper, we study God's Word together, and in doing those things, we worship God. And so we don't want to have conflict with our brethren. If we do have conflict, we definitely need to go talk to our brethren about it. But that doesn't mean that, well, since I have a conflict with my brother or sister, I can't come to church. No, that's not what that's saying at all. This passage isn't touching upon that in any way.